Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
What is it with these guys? What is it with these guys invoking the soldiers who served and sacrificed for this country to say that, well, these men and women who gave their lives, they didn't give their lives for this. They gave their lives for that. I go, who are you to say that? And what in the world? I mean, you're seeing that. You just heard it. If you heard the same commercial that I just heard, these out of state, sometimes foreign financiers that are funding these ballot initiatives here in Montana right now, CI-126, CI-127, CI-128, all three of them are bad. And they're all three funded by out-of-state, mega donors, and some are financed by foreign financiers, radical leftists. And the backers of CI-126, they have this phony commercial where they're like, this isn't what our service members fought for. What? Oh, you want to do away with primary elections in Montana? You basically want to strip away political parties altogether and have this jungle primary and this crazy general election. And you basically want to strip away the freedom of association for the Republican Party, the freedom of association for the Democrat Party. You want to confuse the whole elections process. And you're claiming this is, the current election system is not what our service members sacrifice for. Oh, goats. Oh, man. So disgusting. So absolutely. But then you've got, who is it? Was it Kamala Harris or Tim Walz? They were claiming that, well, the men at D-Day, they were basically claiming that the men at D-Day, they gave their lives. They walked right into machine gun fire for open borders so that America could be invaded by illegal aliens. They gave their lives on the, the beaches of Normandy so that transgender surgeries could take place on kids. What? What? These people are absolutely insane. And then you've got the liberal media. You had this incredible rally at Madison Square Garden. You had a Holocaust survivor, at least one who was there, a prominent Holocaust survivor who was there. You had a black Republican congressman from Florida. I mean, you had people across the spectrum that were at this Madison Square Gardens rally. And you have actual prominent liberal news publications that are calling this a Nazi rally. These people have lost their ever-loving freaking minds. Absolutely crazy. Anyway, we'll get into all that and more. But hey, the story I actually was thinking about starting with here this morning, I say thinking about starting with because, hey, we take your phone calls, we get your messages on the Montana Talks app, and before you know it, we're talking about eight other things before I even talk about something I want to talk about. And that's okay, as Stuart Smalley would say. But here's what I just find fascinating. The list is growing. A couple of lists are growing. First, the list of sheriffs, of county sheriffs in Montana that are calling out John Tester for lying in his campaign ads. I can't even keep up with all the sheriffs that are now calling him out for lying.
Securing America.
During a recent forum at George Washington University in Washington, D.C., Deputy Secretary of State Richard Verma spoke about modern-day threats.
Concerns that our Director of Central Intelligence has called, quote, problems without passports.
Verma says examples include the recent pandemic, changes in technology, and especially climate change, which has an effect
not just on economies or on our day-to-day lives, but on our national security.
Verma cited effects on water supplies and the ability for countries to grow food as examples that lead to geopolitical unrest. He added that our forces are not immune.
The Defense Department has suffered tens of billions of dollars in damages from weather-related events impacting training and equipment and base operations.
Verma says the bottom line is
it is real, it is present, it is a threat to global safety.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudy skies over the area today, we'll see some snow showers across areas towards Bozeman, rain showers in the Billings area. High temperature readings ranging from 40 in Bozeman to near 50 in Billings. For tonight, still could see a few rain showers early across the Billings area. Otherwise, temperatures will then drop back off to around 20 in Bozeman, with upper 20s around 30 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
At least two Montana sheriffs say that John Tester is lying, that he failed to fund law enforcement, and that he's lying about it in his campaign advertisements that are mailed out across the state. The Roosevelt County Sheriff says nobody knows anything about this $1.8 million. The Sheriff of Park County, Montana, said John Tester has never reached out to support him or his office. That full story, go to MontanaTalks.com. The sheriffs say John Tester is lying.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
There's another list that keeps growing as well. I referenced very quickly there that this list of county sheriffs here in Montana who are speaking out. Yeah, we just got a message from Paul in Bozeman about an hour ago. The Broadwater County Sheriff. Yeah, I saw that one. Eric and Winifred sent us the Dawson County Sheriff's Office statement. Yeah, I saw that one. I had about four different listeners send that one to me, maybe five or six yesterday afternoon. That list of Sweetgrass County, Stillwater County, I already told you about Roosevelt County. I already told you about Park County. The list is growing of sheriffs who are calling out John Tester for straight-up lying in his campaign commercials. You know what other list is growing? The list of Montana media outlets that are refusing to cover this story. I went and checked the KTVQ television website, not a peep on this story. Billings Gazette, not a peep on this story. Let's go check out Color 8's website. It's probably going to be not a peep about that either, but they're probably still propping up, you know, Democrat front groups. Let's see. Not a peep about it. Not a peep about it here. The nonstop local stations. First off, aren't they broadcasting out of Spokane or something like that? How is that local? Whatever. Whatever. Okay. But the other list that I wanted to tell you about, the other list that keeps on growing here, is the list of fellow Navy SEALs and EOD technicians, you know, the bomb disposal expert guys and gals in the U.S. Navy. Incredible, by the way, that, you know, a lot of you guys, you know what a Navy SEAL is, but those of you who maybe never served, you don't know about these EOD technicians Navy EOD, NAV EOD, incredible men and women. I've gotten a chance to work with many of them during my tenure in the military as well, and just incredible folks. But yeah, EOD techs work very closely with Navy SEALs and SEAL teams, for those of you who don't know. So you guys saw, did you see the ponytail guy? They found that guy. They found the one guy on the SEAL teams. He doesn't like everybody else on the SEAL teams. The one guy to bash Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy. In this campaign commercial that John Tester put here. Have you seen the guy with the ponytail? Yeah, him. So, well, basically now there is a massive list of fellow Navy SEALs that actually served with Tim Sheehy. This ponytail guy in John Tester's campaign commercial wasn't even in the same unit as Tim Sheehy. They weren't even in the same platoon, weren't even in the same unit. But the guys who actually did serve closely with Tim Sheehy, fellow SEALs, EOD technicians, there's a long list of them who are now saying, hey, we back Tim Sheehy. He is an incredible man of honor. I can give you more of the exact quotes from this FoxNews.com piece here. Not only that, but the guy who who was the commander of Tim Sheehy, but also the commander of the ponytail guy, that the commander over, who had been a commander of both of these gentlemen, says this about Tim Sheehy. Tim Sheehy's reputation as a SEAL is one of total dedication, personal sacrifice, and bravery. Ponytail guy's statements. He used the guy's actual name. I'm just going to call him Ponytail. Okay. Ponytail guy's statements about Tim are disgraceful, misguided, and wrong. Mike Hayes, retired commander and commanding officer of SEAL Team 2, told Fox News. So the list is growing there as well. All right, we got a caller already on the phone lines here at 6:17 in the morning. Let's go to Bob in Anaconda. Bob, great to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
Hey, great. Yeah, good morning.
Hey, I wanted to talk about all of the TV commercials being run down your throat about Tester saving the Anaconda Job Corps, which is completely false. Trump wouldn't talk to Tester, so Steve Daines was the one that saved the Anaconda Job Corps. And not only that, but then they just let the ball go after that, and now all of the rules and things that DOL are trying to make us do to make this a successful program are completely unattainable.
Oh, interesting.
So nobody backed it up. They saved it, but they didn't back it up. Now, I tried to pin Skinny down a little bit on that and see what he thought of the Job Corps as a whole, and never did get an answer. So I don't know if he supports it or doesn't, but I can tell you the communities and the nation need these programs. We need to get young adults to work and paying taxes.
Well, I've heard great things about that program. I don't know if you knew my friend Rod Frost.
Of course, I know Rod. Rod's a great guy.
Oh, he's a great guy, isn't he?
I backfilled Rod when Rod retired.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's a great guy. Sunburst, Montana, originally. His son and I went to college together. And, yeah, just what a great guy. What a great family. But, yeah, so I've heard great things about that Job Corps there because, you know, I heard it firsthand through Rod and all the great things they were doing. And so, yeah, so when John Tester claimed that he saved the Job Corps in Anaconda, it's like, wait a minute. No, we saw the news as it happened. Senator Steve Daines called President Trump because this is one of those budget decisions, and the budget always comes out and proposes cuts here and there. And Steve Daines said, hey, we got to keep this Job Corps in Anaconda. And we kept it, right? So, but John Tester wants to take credit for other people's work.
Absolutely. Well, you have a great day, Aaron, and thanks for putting it out there.
Hey, you too. Thanks for calling in. Real quick, I know I got to hit the heartbreak. Do you think other people in Anaconda see through this, or do people just want to believe what they want to believe sometimes?
I think that people don't ever follow what the headline is. If it comes and it says he's a liar, that's as far as they read into it.
So some people will still just believe what they want to believe, yeah, or just see the headline. All right, great insight. Thanks for the call.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
Jeff Bezos has set the Washington Post back 10 years. That's 10 years from now, people will still be talking about how, at the last minute, he killed a Kamala Harris endorsement. Not that newspaper endorsements matter much anymore. And also, he does a lot of business with the federal government through Amazon, through his rocket company. And it may well be that he fears that Trump will win. He wants to not exacerbate his already difficult relationship with Trump. Lots of canceled subscriptions. Two more, in addition to the first two, people at the Post going ahead and saying they're getting off the editorial board. But they also say, well, why don't they cancel their Amazon Prime as opposed to just going after the Post and hurting the Post? Meanwhile, the Post is still doing endorsements for state and local races. How do you explain that? With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudy skies over the area today, we'll see some snow showers across areas towards Bozeman, rain showers in the Billings area. High temperature readings ranging from 40 in Bozeman to near 50 in Billings. For tonight, still could see a few rain showers early across the Billings area. Otherwise, temperatures will then drop back off to around 20 in Bozeman, with upper 20s around 30 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Well, that was a great visit by the U.S. Navy's crew of the USS Billings. That's right, the Navy crew of the USS Billings in Billings, Montana. They joined us on Monday's Montana Talks. Plus, we took several great phone calls all across Montana. With about 1 week to go until Election Day here in Montana, we're going to keep the phone lines open for you once again with Tuesday's Montana Talks, the final Tuesday before the big Tuesday. Montana Talks, taking your calls statewide, 9 to 10 right here.
With the Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network, I'm Lane Nordblond. USDA on Friday released the October 1st Cattle on Feed report, and data shows stronger demand for cattle and beef. USDA economist Michael McConnell shares more on the figures.
The key takeaway is that, you know, prices are still strong for feeder cattle, for fed cattle, and for wholesale beef prices. So as a result, we're still seeing a steady stream of animals coming into and being marketed from feedlots.
September placements into feedlots were down 2% from last year at 2.16 million head, while marketings of cattle rose by 2% to 1.7 million head, leaving total cattle on feed numbers at 11.6 million head. Of that inventory, 7 million were steer and steer calves, up 1% from last year, while heifer and heifer calves accounted for 4.6 million head, down 1% from 2023.
Which might be an indication, perhaps, that more heifers being retained by producers for breeding. But at the same time, it's not necessarily showing any real strong signs of a trend of, you know, major heifer retention.
A sentiment felt by producers and analysts alike that dry conditions across the nation will continue to hamper any large-scale herd rebuilding here in the short term. You're listening to the Western Ag Network.
Molson Coors would like to raise a cold Coors Banquet and a cold Coors Light to toast Colorado, Montana, and Wyoming barley growers. Thank you for another successful harvest. Hi, this is Peter Coors. It's because of your hard work and dedication that Molson Coors is able to raise the high country barley that is the main ingredient to our iconic beers that so many people enjoy. So the next time any of you have a beer, thank the farmer, because without them, it would not be possible.
Thank you, Senators Tester, Thune, Rounds, Hoeven, and Loomis, for working across the aisle to sponsor mandatory country of origin labeling bill in Congress. Consumers deserve the right to know where their beef was born, raised, and processed. Mandatory country of origin labeling is a Farmers Union's Fairness for Farmer priority for both ranchers and families.
Returning back here on this Tuesday morning, winter wheat planting nationally reached 80% complete as of Sunday, slightly behind last year and the five-year average. Oklahoma lags the most with 59% planted. That's 22% behind last year's average, while Kansas is near average at 87% complete. Crop emergence is rolling in at 56%, trailing last year in the average by 5 points. The first USDA crop condition report shows 38% of next year's winter wheat crop in good to excellent condition, down from 47% last year, with 23% rated poor to very poor, a 5-point increase from 2023. Looking to the U.S. corn harvest, it reached 81% completion Sunday, significantly ahead of both last year's 68% and the five-year average 52%. Ohio leads with 72% harvested, 34 points above its average, followed by Wisconsin at 65%, 30 points ahead of last year. Iowa's harvest, 84% complete, while Indiana, Illinois, and Nebraska are also well ahead of their respective averages. In other news, USDA announced $1.5 billion for 92 conservation projects through its Regional Conservation Partnership Program to help farmers, ranchers, and forest landowners adopt conservation practices, addressing natural resource challenges and climate issues. I'm Lane Nordblond, Western Ag Network.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, that was great hearing from Bob in Anaconda. I don't know if Eric in Winifred is up and rolling yet. I got a great phone call from Eric in Winifred yesterday, and then a message that followed up. Let's see here. Great email here from Matt in Butte as well, and several messages that came in. So yesterday, I think yesterday afternoon, you know, I was telling you about how the list is growing. Not only the list of sheriffs who are calling out John Tester for lying in his campaign advertisements, claiming that he provided funding for law enforcement when he didn't. Not only, but that's not the only part of the story. The other big part of the story is that John Tester just refused to even like reach out and work with many of these sheriffs. They're like, we never even heard anything from you. Your office never reaches out to us, but now you want to, you know, lie about delivering all this funding for law enforcement. So, like I say, several sheriffs are now speaking out. There are posts on their official Facebook pages. The Dawson County Sheriff, the Broadwater County Sheriff, Sweetgrass County Sheriff. I think I saw one as well. Roosevelt County, Park County, you name it. And yet, look at the silence from the liberal media. You are all fake news. Now, if the New York Times ran a hit piece on Tim Sheehy, they would, boom, they would, and it would feature the sheriff from Montana, boom, they, you know, KTVQ would have it on their website immediately. There'd be 3-4 days of stories following up. And then, but no, multiple sheriffs calling out John Tester, and they aren't even reporting it. Why didn't they report the news when it broke over the weekend? Well, they could say, well, we're shorthanded on the weekends. Well, why didn't they have it Monday? Why don't they have it Tuesday? Because they're fake news, putting their thumb on the scale for John Tester, and they're losing. And they're losing. They're becoming the story. I'll tell you what, they are becoming the story. You know, November 6th, you know who we're going to be talking about? We're not only going to be talking about election results, we're going to be talking about the fake news media. Because that is the ongoing story here. Because you think the fake news media is going to stop on November 6th? Well, hopefully we actually have election results on November 5th, and we don't have to wait for November 6th and November 6th. Because election day has turned into election week, it's turned into election 2 weeks. But the fake news media in Montana is not going away on November 6th. You think the fake news media is just bashing Tim Sheehy because they want to help John Tester? No, they are bashing Tim Sheehy just like they will bash legislative Republicans in the state legislature come January, just like they bash Cole, just like they become mouthpieces for the out-of-state foreign financier-funded environmental groups. They will bash you in a heartbeat just like they are falsely bashing a Navy SEAL veteran, Tim Sheehy. That's why they will continue to be the story after these elections. Where was I going with that? I was talking about, we got the phone call from Eric and Winifred yesterday later in the morning. Oh, I know what. Let's read this email that I got from Matt in Butte, a fellow veteran in Butte, America. Matt sent us this email yesterday afternoon because I had shared the story about how the ponytail guy bashing Tim Sheehy in this John Tester commercial, the guy wearing the ponytail, apparently he's a vegetarian as well. I went and checked his ex account, and he had a bunch of tweets where he was whining about how his fellow SEALs didn't like him because he was vegetarian. And it's like, dude, get over yourself. I mean, like... Nobody cares what you're eating for lunch. Get over yourself, man. But anyway, so he was whining about not being liked by his fellow SEALs, apparently. And so anyway, so I asked the question, who would you believe? The guy with the ponytail who donated to Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Barack Obama, and Chuck Schumer's Political Action Committee, or a Navy SEAL from Billings, Montana, who lost both of his legs in Afghanistan? Who would you believe? Now, we got a message from, is it Merck? Not Mark, but Merck, M-E-R-K, sent us a message shortly after I had sent out a tweet or a Facebook post or something. Merck says this, I trust the guy who Tim Sheehy saved his life
over a guy who did not serve in his unit. So, do you guys remember the name Bo Reichenbach? Bo Reichenbach, incredible guy. He sacrificed so much for this country. Listen to what Bo Reichenbach, he actually agreed to go on camera in this campaign commercial for Tim Sheehy, a fellow Navy SEAL. And I didn't even know that these two were in the same unit. Bo Reichenbach, Navy SEAL from Billings, Montana, who lost both of his legs in Afghanistan, was in the same unit as Tim Sheehy. Now, Ponytail Guy was not in the same unit as Tim Sheehy, but anyway, that's a key fact here.
I served as a Navy SEAL. Tim Sheehy led our unit in Afghanistan. That's why I'm alive today. When the IED went off, they didn't think I'd survive. Tim ran straight into danger to protect others, earning the Bronze Star and a Purple Heart. Tim doesn't just talk about honor and sacrifice. He lives it. Trust me, Tim Sheehy is exactly who we need in the Senate.
I'm Tim Sheehy, and I approve this message.
Well, there you go. There you go. That's Bo Reichenbach, who actually served with Tim Sheehy, says incredible things about Tim Sheehy. So does a whole list of other SEALs and EOD techs who served with Tim Sheehy, as you can see in a Fox News report that was just published yesterday afternoon. But no, John Tester wants you to believe the ponytail guy. The ponytail vegetarian who donated to Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. I mean, thanks for your service, bro, but I think we're going to stick with Bo on this one.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I'm just laughing at John Tester. His closing argument is using a ponytail-haired vegetarian who donated to Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. That's your big closing argument there, Big John. Oh, my goodness. Tammy in Kalispell with a great photograph. Tammy just sent us here. It's Tammy next to her Tim Sheehy American Warrior sign. Looking good there. Great photo. Thanks so much for sharing that one with us. Sean in Shelby sent us a message. He says, don't forget Toole County. This should go national. Bongino Hannity. I'm with you, Sean. So Sean, did the Toole County Sheriff also send out a post? Can you send us a link to that, or can you send us the post from the Toole County Sheriff? Because I've got a little list going here. I'm just printing up all of the various statements from all of the various sheriffs calling out flip-flop, flat-top Liberal Senator John Tester for lying after he failed to fund law enforcement across Montana, but then wants to pretend that he did fund law enforcement across Montana. All right, let's see. Tom and Billings, stand by. He wants to weigh in on this topic as well. And Tom, I want to hear from you. Let me just quickly read this email from Matt in Butte, though, since I said I would. So before I forget, let's get to it. Matt in Butte says this. Aaron, we've met a few times in Butte. As a district officer in both the American Legion and the VFW, I abide by the nonpartisan policies of both organizations and will not publicly take any sides. That said, every election I say the mudslinging can't possibly get worse, and then 2 or 4 years later I'm proven wrong. I will quote the admonition we close VFW meetings with. If I cannot speak well of my comrade, I will not speak ill of him. A few elections ago, one of the candidates was a decorated former POW who had been horribly tortured while in captivity. Several fellow veteran friends would not vote for him over their political differences. One summed up best what they all felt about this candidate. He has earned the right to be wrong. I think most veterans set a good example by refraining from nastiness. I wish we all would. World War I veteran Harry Truman called it when he said, if you want a friend in this town, Washington, D.C., get a dog. That was from Matt in Butte. Great message, Matt. Thanks so much for sharing that. I appreciate it. That's why, you know, one of the things that's most disgusting, I think, about John Tester is the fact that John Tester has refused to even say thank you for your service to Tim Sheehy and his wife, Carmen. But then again, John Tester has never served in a day in his life. So, you know, can we really expect him to know better? Then again, he's been a United States Senator. He should know better. He should know better. He should have met enough veterans to know better. But, hey, there you go. All right. Let's see. Let's go to Tom in Billings. Tom, great to hear from you. What's going on?
Good morning, Aaron. As you know, I am running for the next election for Yellowstone County Sheriff. And I've been going around the state, and I've been talking to different agencies. And for John Tester to even go and take a picture of a sheriff's car in Jefferson County, matter of fact, I know they don't support John Tester. John Tester has done nothing but ban any kind of funds. He votes 98% of the time to defund the police, and there is not a sheriff's department in the state of Montana that I am aware of that would support John Tester. So you know what? Don't take pictures of sheriff's cars and put them on your website and say that you support the police, because I damn well know he does not. I am Thomas Madigan. I am running for the largest county, Yellowstone County Sheriff, and I approve this message. Thank you very much, and have a good day.
All right, Tom, thanks for the call. Yeah, that's one of the things that I think has really angered a lot of these sheriffs across Montana, is that John Tester's campaign, what they did was they ran these ads in the weekly newspapers. And this is how desperate they are. I threw a question out on Twitter yesterday on X. I said, this is freaking amateur hour. Either this is freaking amateur by the Tester campaign, or they freaking don't care, because they can just throw this garbage out there, make any claim they want, put it in a newspaper, put it in an advertisement. And it doesn't matter how big of a lie it is. They think they can get away with it, or it's enough of a Hail Mary pass that they're willing to risk it, because they know that the liberal media in Montana is never going to call them out for it. You think KTVQ television right now is going to do a story on this? They might 3 days from now, you know, 3 days after the fact, they'll try to cushion the impact. They'll do a story, and then they'll try to make John Tester look in the most positive light possible. I mean, their coverage is just embarrassing. They did another story where they try to make Tim Sheehy look bad. And what did they do for this story? They're like, Tim Sheehy wants to do away with the Federal Department of Education. Well, good for him. We agree. Block grant that money to the states and let the state of Montana and the teachers here figure out how to use that money instead of some bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. tying our hands with that money. But anyway, KTVQ does a story. Educator responds to Sheehy's comments. Who is the educator? Let's go here. The educator is Scott McCullough, chair of the Billings School District 2 School Board. Didn't Scott McCullough, wasn't he one of those school board members who didn't want to let young Emily Pennington, the West High cheerleader with Down syndrome, finish her senior year and graduate high school with her friends? Why do we give 1 ounce of Adam Schiff what that guy has to say about education, or Tim Sheehy, or anything else? Didn't that guy say, shut up and wear your mask? Didn't that guy slap the teachers in the face with a mask mandate that even the teachers and the teachers union voted against? Didn't that guy tell grandma and grandpa that they couldn't go watch their grandkids play sports? So why do we give 1 ounce of Adam Schiff what Scott McCullough has to say about the U.S. Senate race here in Montana? But, oh, there's KTVQ television giving him a microphone, because they're a bunch of biased liberals that are running that outfit right now. It is pathetic. It is and there's a lot. There's good people that work there. Don't get me wrong. There are good people, especially some of the behind the scenes folks. Good people that work for these TV stations. But the people that have the microphone, the people that control what is able to be said on that microphone, are doing everything they can to help John Tester and the Democrats. But again, November 6th, you think they're going to stop with their biased coverage after this election? Even if John Tester loses, which means they lose, even if John Tester loses, they're going to keep bashing Cole. They're going to keep bashing Colstrip with their biased coverage. They're going to keep bashing, you know, the mining jobs with their biased coverage. They're going to keep walking down to the Northern Plains Resource Council, giving them a microphone. The Northern Plains Resource Council doesn't do anything for the Montana economy. They don't do anything for the Billings economy. All they do is tear things down. And they're a fake, phony organization that gets money from these George Soros types. They're out of that don't even live here, that don't even give a damn about Montana. But these TV stations, oh, let's go to the Northern Plains Resource Council. Let's hear what they have to say about Colstrip. Oh, let's hear what they have to say about the Signal Peak coal mine. Do you know how much money that mine brings into the Yellowstone County, Musselshell County area? And here you guys are. Here you guys are just walking your little TV camera over to the Northern Plains Resource Council to trash talk these guys. And you do the same thing about the natural gas power plant in Laurel. And you do the same thing. Again, why do you think these liberal media outlets are trashing Tim Sheehy? It's because on November 6th, they're going to go back to trashing you. And they're going to go back to trashing your mining job. And they're going to go back to pushing the climate alarmist agenda. And then when the legislature meets in January, they're going to have biased coverage out of Helena. And they're going to make Zoe Zephyr look like some freaking hero while they trash a grandma from Glendive who just wants to sit on a bench while she enjoys a cup of coffee during the legislative session. I mean, I'm telling you, my goodness, it is just embarrassingly bad how much the Montana media has just embarrassed themselves this election. But you know what? It's a good thing because they always leaned left before anyway. But because they were more fair about it, they were more believable. Now, most people don't believe a dang word these guys say.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
This is all about power. I know any so-called norms or any respect is gone, and they're the ones that lecture the rest of the country about civility, about the dangers of fossil fuels while they fly around in their big private jets. They're the ones that will toss out, you know, millions of primary votes and just, you know, have an internal Democratic Party coup and say goodbye to Joe Biden and threaten him with the 25th Amendment. They're the ones that say they'll get rid of the filibuster. They're the ones that will pack the courts. You know, they're the ones that have used lawfare and the weaponization of justice. And they fear that that may happen to them. And Donald Trump is out there saying that he would pardon Hunter Biden if Joe doesn't pardon him.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, everyone. Biden may have dropped out of the race, but he's not done just yet. Will he jam through his hidden tax trap at the last second right before he goes, where he could raid your retirement funds, supercharge your income taxes, increase your utility and gas prices? I know my family's feeling it really hard, and so are the people in my community. And not only that, he'll inflate costs on things that you need to live. Some or all of this could affect you or your family in one way or another. So if you want to wait and see, you may as well kiss your retirement savings goodbye. The good news is you can get prepared, but you better hurry. Reach out to GoldCo today to learn how precious metals could help protect yourself and your family. They're offering you a free 2024 gold and silver kit, plus up to a 10% instant match in bonus silver on qualified accounts. All you have to do is visit HannityGold.com. Visit HannityGold.com. That's HannityGold.com.
Paid for by GoldCo.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The issues at stake in the FTC's recent ban on non-compete clauses in labor contracts, which forbid workers from taking jobs with competitors after quitting, might have less relevance for Montana. Our state is less urbanized, our tech and finance industries are smaller, and doubtless the number of jobs and people involved in this ban here are less than elsewhere. But as an example of how an economic approach can improve a policy debate, it's a very good issue to bring up. That's because the regulation of non-compete contracts involves trade-offs that economics is well-suited to help us understand. Allowing non-compete contracts makes employers more willing to train and invest in their workers, since there's less chance that they'll walk out the door with their company's secrets. But it also makes their jobs less attractive, so they may have to pay more. But non-competes also shrink the pool of applicants when companies try to hire. It may turn out that the ban is best. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, there was a lot of other content I was going to share this hour of the show. We didn't even have time to get to it. We had some great phone calls we mixed in and great messages on the Montana Talks app and more. Thanks to Sean and Shelby for sending me the message from the Toole County Sheriff. I've added that one to the stack. I'm going to try to do a roll-up probably later on in the 9 o'clock hour of what various sheriffs are now reporting in various counties across Montana. So we'll get back to that here later this morning. But hey, we got all morning to roll for you here. We've got normally John Jackson, the Joker from X, would join us in the 8 o'clock hour of the show, but he's hanging out at the cabin today, so he's going to join us for a special Wednesday show instead. So it'll be Unwoke Wednesday with the Joker tomorrow. So plenty of time to take your phone calls here today, 406-294-0970. Let's go to Gary in Bozeman. Gary, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. How are you?
Doing great, thanks.
Good. Hey, I was just going to call. I already voted, so I just noticed that there you haven't really seen any polling about these constitutional initiatives that they put on the ballot. But what really bothers me about it is how these out-of-state people can come in and throw a bunch of money at signature gathering and get these things on the ballot that they're just trying to change our constitution, and they don't even live here.
Yeah, and not only that, but they can have a shady signature gathering process, and they can screw up the process, and the liberal Montana Supreme Court will still force the thing on the ballot anyway. And then they'll dictate what the specific language is going to look like so that they can have a deceptively crafted ballot language on top of it. It's a total sham all the way around. Not only out-of-state money, foreign money. Foreigners aren't allowed to contribute to political campaigns in America, but they are allowed to contribute to ballot initiative campaigns. That's outrageous.
Well, what would stop us from starting our own ballot initiative that would dictate that you would have to prove that your money came from in the state and have in-state signature gatherers?
Yeah, well, the legislature, you know, could make a change like that, could force a change like that. But, you know, the challenge there is, do we maintain a Republican supermajority after these November elections, especially after the gerrymandering of the legislative districts that the Democrats just pulled? So, but that's a great question that you ask. I would think that at a bare minimum, banning foreign influence in ballot initiative campaigns in Montana should be a very easy start. Now, the Democrats will try to figure out a way to say no to that because Hans-Jörg Wiese is their money bags. He's the George Soros of Montana and Wyoming, basically.
Yeah, well, when I saw these people gathering signatures on the street in downtown Bozeman, you could actually see that they were not even close to being around here.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And half of them didn't even know what they were. They were just getting paid to collect these signatures. And I'll tell you what, Gary, yeah, you're right. I haven't seen any polling. I'll have to ask some folks to see if there's any polling available on these ballot initiatives. But I'll tell you this, when it comes to CI 128, this radical initiative, CI 128, if that fails,
it's going to be a miracle. It's going to be the only thing you can say is that prayer is to credit for that one, because there's hardly any money that's opposing CI-128, and they're just getting vastly outspent by the big out of state money and the foreign money that's coming in to try to change our constitution here in Montana. It's absolutely crazy. Gary, thanks for calling. Great to hear from you. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Have a good day. We'll get your Fox News update in here at the top of the hour. And then for the 7 o'clock hour, I haven't even looked at my calendar yet. I think we got the whole 7 o'clock hour to take your phone calls and more. That's right. We do. Phone lines open for the entire 7 o'clock hour, but it's fast moving. So give us a ring.
This is Fox on Justice. NYPD's Chief of Patrol John Schell says there are hundreds of Tren de Aragua associates citywide. The violent Venezuelan gang known as TDA is actively recruiting new members inside the city's 200-plus migrant shelters, selling a newer drug called Tussy or pink cocaine, and smuggling guns inside the migrant shelters through food cartons.
Do we believe there's guns in the shelters that have a gang affiliation? Absolutely. Do we believe that they were being smuggled in? Absolutely.
The NYPD says TDA gang members are not afraid to shoot at cops and are taking part in human trafficking. Police shut down a 24-hour migrant brothel in Queens, New York, where TDA has a stronghold. Tren de Aragua is spreading nationwide with reported activity in at least 14 states and 10 cities, from El Paso to Chicago, from Miami to Aurora, Colorado. The NYPD is advocating for the city to change its sanctuary city law, preventing the NYPD from contacting ICE, meaning many violent offenders are not deported. Brian Dennis, Fox News.